and welcome to the Faith and Swim podcast, where we dive into, pun intended, the intersection of faith and living a life for God. I'm super excited for this episode because we have, as always, special guests, but special guests in that these are some of the people I spend the most time with. They are some of my closest friends, and they just love God so much. And so I'm just so thankful to have them in my life, and I'm so ready for this episode. So I'd like to introduce you to Esther, Ola, Caroline, and Nathan.
Hello.
Yeah. So, what's up, guys? Like, what's good?
Nothing much is good?
Everything is good. God is yes. good. So, you know, like,
Hi. My name's Ola. I'm Solomon's friend. I met him at Bible study, two years ago. Were you there with Garrett at the start?
I was there at the start of Jason's Deli.
Okay, Jason's Deli, I was there. But yeah, that's how I know Solomon. We didn't go to the same school, but yeah.
I'm Caroline. I met Solomon at school. He invited me to a Bible study, and last year. Now we're like tight.
Man, the mic is pretty good, so I'm just gonna I can just hold it.
Yo, what's up, guys? My name's Nathan. I met Solomon at a Bible study with Ola. Funny enough, Ola and I know each other from school. I met Esther through Vertical and our mutual friends, and Caroline just the same. It's glad to be on here. I'm ready for your questions. Let's go.
Okay, yeah. So, I guess first off, kind of question more like just a check of what's going on in life right now, anything exciting, interesting. What do you feel like God is walking you through in this period of your life?
In this period of my life, just trying to get find a good balance between balancing ministry things, classes, work, as well as my sport, and not being overexerted in areas, but continuing to fill up with the Holy Spirit.
You're a hard worker. Esther is basically an extremely hard worker, and so she has to work on not overexerting herself, is what she was saying, because she's super tough at everything. I did actually graduate from Glaze Academy of Math and Science. I know how to compliment.
So they just be letting anybody in here.
She's kind of the OP character who got humbled when she became Christian. While most of us were we had to learn. Anyways, me personally, how am I? That's a great question. God is doing a new thing. I can say that much. I used to not cry as much, but I've started putting eye drops in my eyes because the doctor said I should, or the eye doctor said I should, because they said my eyes were dry. So maybe that's the reason why I'm crying a little bit more, tears, Jesus sweat.
I thought it was an emotional thing.
My eyes actually just sweat because my eye muscles are just so strong. And I'm West African. I'm West African too, so I just sweat really easily. So my eyes, they're just as strong. But other than that, trying to get my classwork done. Trying to be in community because it's very easy to avoid it.
Yeah.
And play volleyball.
That's true. Emphasis on the volleyball.
I do play volleyball so that I don't fall into sin. One, and then two, to take care of my body. Three, it's a good pastime. I'm not a party person. Volleyball is my party.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to be doing it less because I do
school, right? The school or
no? You make time for the things that you want.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's just but I'm probably gonna be doing it less because of I like to play more comp. You know what I'm saying? I'll play casual games at the sand park near me, but yeah.
What was the question again?
What do you feel like? How's life? But also what type of season do you feel like you find yourself in, or that God's put you in?
Life's been kind of difficult recently just because my parents getting a divorce and then just both of them not really handling it very well and kind of putting a lot of strain on me. And I also just, like, went through a friendship group, like, split. Like, I basically got booted out of a friend group that I hung out with since the beginning of this year. And so that's kind of hard, too. And, but honestly, it's making me realize that I don't really, this is kind of hard to say. Not hard to say, kind of bad to say. Not bad. Well, okay. I don't really need anybody but God, is what I'm basically saying.
That's what, like, got me closer to God, bro.
Literally.
Exactly, like,
that's what got me closer.
Yeah, and literally, like, once that happens, I swear, I talk about this, like, every episode. Once you, like, realize you don't need God, that's when God starts putting people in life that you need. Yeah, what are you going to say? Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
like,
yeah.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, like, I was catching you because you said when you don't need, when you realize you don't need God.
Oh, is that what I said?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah. My face stretched. I was like, weird.
Yeah. Once you realize that you
don't need people,
that you don't need people, and that you really just need God, that's when God's going to put the right people in your life. Yeah.
Yeah, because
exactly.
Honestly, that friend group, I didn't realize that at the time, but they were pulling me away from God, and I was allowing it to happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, now that they're, like, I'm not in that friend group anymore, I'm, like, back, getting close back to God, and then, like, I get to hang out with y'all who will help lead me and help, like, strengthen.
With that idea of, like, not necessarily getting booted out the friend group, because this last semester, I, like, distanced myself from, like, the friends that I had in high school, like, other than y'all, like, it was this main friend group. I distanced myself from them because I just didn't like, the way I was seeing myself is very, like, it wasn't aligned with the way that I know God sees me, and I had to, like, make a change. And so I put in efforts to basically distance myself from this friend group. Not saying that it was bad. Like, they definitely knew Christ, but they didn't know Christ to the extent that I felt like I knew him. Not saying
almost,
that I know more.
Almost, like, unequally yoked, in a sense.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, like, it's not, really, it was more for my own self because I was going through something. But then also, too, like, I'm in college by myself, and these people are in the group chat. They know God, but they're talking about drinking, and they're talking about partying, and they call it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you can't go to a party. You can go to a party and not sin, but it's just a matter of, like, if you go to a party, the likeliness of you sinning is higher.
It increases.
Yeah, so, like, why put yourself in the place the first time?
Let's talk about that,
right?
Like, I think a lot of it has to do with going into, like, I just see this so frequently where, like, people are like, I don't know what's gonna happen. It's like, why do you even give yourself that option? Like, why do you even say, I don't know what's gonna happen? Like, if you're going into an environment of, I just am reminded of, like, Romans 12 2 all the time, in regards to that. It's like, if you know what you believe and you're going into an environment that has temptation, that has sin, I understand, like, first of all, putting yourself in that position.
Right.
And then second of all, like, don't even, I don't know, what are y'all's thoughts on that? Like,
on that, like, you know, I've had other friends and they drink. And the thing is, like, just speaking from this biblically, Jesus, one of his first few miracles was making water to wine, right?
Yeah.
For a wedding. And the Bible never says, like, you know, alcohol is bad.
Yeah.
But it says don't get drunk,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the sin where is you let yourself, like, that's what it is with, like, any extreme. Like, you can make it like an idol, right? People can turn to alcohol for, like coping, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I've heard a couple of times to some people, it's like, well, if you use alcohol as a way to cope with things or any other thing, like, as long as you're, like, if you are not going to God first, or at least you're not going to something that will benefit you in another way that isn't, like, chemically,
mm-hmm.
then,
yeah.
like, and I said that totally wrong, hold on. Cause if you lose the ability to, like, find refuge, because that's what I'm trying to go to.
Yeah.
If you lose the ability to find refuge in God, then you seek it in other places that
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't.
That's,
right?
That's so good. Right.
So, because everybody needs refuge. And, like, we were talking about, like we were just talking about, like, friends, right? Like, everybody requires community.
Mm-hmm.
But where you are in community is important. It matters. Are you in a community that focuses on their heart rather than their actions when it comes to God?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That matters. Like, there is a distinction in who you need to be around. And when it comes to, like, friends or anything like that, like, if they drink, that alone inherently is not bad.
Yeah.
But it is bad when you do it too much. Anything can have its extremes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's always a spectrum.
And
or something.
Then,
yeah. Like,
I do want to clarify with this friend group. I didn't need to be this close. So I was testing this, so I was pretty loud. But what's the word? Like, these people know God, and I'm not trying to say as if, like, they're sinning, like, I need to get away from them type. Because, like, I saw these people get closer to God. I've seen their growth and things like that. But it's just, like, seeing this community compared to, like, BSM, right?
Mm.
Like, these people are literally, like, their entire lives is dedicated. Yes, they're in college, but colleges are ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they are.
They're, like, genuinely, like, their friend group is all Bible-centered. Like, the hangouts are Bible studies, one way, shape, or form. We're talking about theology.
Yeah.
Like, the plans are to go on a mission trip during breaks instead of going on vacation. Like, you're forwarding the kingdom of God versus forwarding your own kingdom.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm looking at this friend group, and I'm like, okay, like, they're looking out for themselves. Yes, school is stressful, but that's why you have, like... And then again, this is a close friend group. Like, this is a friend group that we've had for a really long time. So I understand the dynamics a little different. Like, they're different from, like, things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, okay, like, this isn't what I want. Like, what I wanted at BSM, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
with the good conversations, talking about, like, those hard combos between, like, differences between religions, what religion does something better, the different beliefs, why it's good, why it's bad, things like that. That's what I was looking towards. And I was just like, okay, this group isn't offering that. Like, don't get me wrong. They know God.
Mm-hmm.
But... I know God to this extent. You guys have taught me the importance of, like, being emotionally aware of myself, because God gave us our emotions, and I'm aware of that, but I can't let that control me. So now I'm going to go back to the biblically, like, centered, like, friend group. So, yeah.
I really like that, and it's not, like, saying in regards, like you said, like, drinking itself is not bad. It's our sin nature and overconsumption, like idolizing things essentially. And so with like secular friendships and stuff like that, like removing ourselves from that is not like, I mean, being involved in having secular friendships, like it's not a bad thing, right? But are we idolizing those friendships? And I think,
or is that like your only source? You know what I'm
saying? Exactly. Like you need both. I feel like having both communities is okay.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, did you want to say something?
It's wise.
I was just saying, like, we gotta make disciples, and like, if we're isolating, like, we're no better than Mormons. We're
a Christian bubble, exactly.
And I'm not,
like, we can't make bubbles.
I had to make sure that, like, I didn't fully isolate myself. Like, I just stopped sharing my location simply. But just, like, being intentional to not, like, completely take myself out of your lives, because one, like, it's very easy once you isolate yourself to think that, oh, okay, I'm spiritually better than them or holier than that one. No, that's not the case.
That,
at all.
Yeah, that
I
itself can be like prideful.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You can have, prideful Christians.
Yeah, so I'm out here just making sure that, like, okay, like, I'm not qualified by, like, what I do. I'm qualified by, like, what he did.
Amen. Say that again. Say that again.
I'm not qualified by what I've done, but what he did for me. Yeah,
exactly.
That's it. So, like, those robes that he gave me, that's what I have on. And we all have the same robes on.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I'm not better than you. I'm just being intentional about, like, where I'm putting my time.
It kind of makes me... You know that where Jesus, he said, don't put a light under a basket, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was also thinking, you know, like, if you just have... And I don't know if this is a good analogy, but you just have only a space where there's light and only a space where there's dark. Jesus didn't call us to be in the space where there's only Christians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He called us to be the light in the darkness.
Yeah.
Right? So if you... And there's nothing... And again, it's, I don't think there's anything wrong with having non-Christian friends, but they cannot be your only source of fun, like, source of, like, community, because you, as a Christian, you have to be rooted somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what matters, is where are you rooted, and then where are you affecting? Because if you have, like... I mean, share y'all's thoughts, but, like, if you have acquaintances or people that you're around that are drinking, right, not necessarily do you have to take part in that, but being the light in the darkness means that, like, you don't do that, and then sometimes they'll see, sometimes they won't, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
I mean, you have to be poured into to be able to pour out into those people, so you can't just be the one pouring out and not being, like... poured into.
But you have to be in good,
like,
soil to, like, flourish.
Yeah,
no matter,
like,
yeah,
here,
no matter where.
I'm being poured into by y'all, so I am able to go out and be with my secular friends and pour into them and,
right,
like, stuff like that.
Like, no matter where he goes. And, like, no matter where we go, I'd say, like, you know, you have to, like, you take that light no matter where, because that comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from us. Like, we pour into each other because Jesus pours into us.
Yeah.
And then we encourage each other.
Wow.
But, like, you know, like kind of like a root system. It kind of make, what are those trees that like,
mangrove?
Yeah, the ones that are like connected.
Played too much Minecraft.
No, but it makes me think of those that like, as Christians, like, because we're all connected in a way that, Paul said that we're closer, that because we know Christ, because we believe in Christ, because mm-hmm. we are, disciples of Christ rather than someone else that we might have like, you know, interest with, because we are going all to the same place. We are going all to, for the same reason.
Yeah.
I mean, we're brothers and sisters, literally.
Right. Like, yeah. Because we're adopted. We're adopted in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we, like, Jesus said that, was like, who is my mothers and who is my sisters and brothers? Yeah. Like,
those who do the will of God.
Yeah. And so, like, we are literally family. And so what family does is that they stick together. They're not, like, loosely, you know, tied together by, like, interest or yeah. hobbies or just things they like. They yeah. are, like, unified. It's kind of like blood. Like,
blood.
We're unified. Yeah, because... Yeah, and so it's like we need each other. It's not just that we want each other, but that we need each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think because, I mean, well, first of all, we already got some dope clips in, but but this segues like really good into our discussion for today, which is just like, what is the importance of having community outside your sport? Mm-hmm. And so, like, oh. I know that we all have been athletes or have been in an extracurricular outside of school. But we noticed that, like, the community that we have there, you know, it may satisfy, like, spiritual needs, but we also need to have a community outside, not just for the reasons of being rooted in godly community, getting poured into, and then, like, getting that light so that we can, you know, share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also so that we have people that can see us without the view of our achievements.
Really great.
I mean, that's literally,
yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how people don't see you evenly, uh-huh. is because of comparison. Like,
yeah.
I have
yeah.
teammates that, not gonna lie, like, sometimes it's hard to love because I just want to be better than them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
why.
I feel
see,
that.
Yeah.
I feel
but, like, what's the difference? Okay, wait. I'll save that thought. I'm gonna
okay,
keep
save
it.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
Esther,
yeah.
you
should pin in it.
Esther, I personally think you should talk first because you're literally, like, the one you have biblical
he's
community. Yeah, yeah, okay, he's D1 too, but he's pre-D1. You're currently D1.
Okay.
So go on it.
And that's shot put, right?
Yeah, shot okay. put, hammer, late. But so essentially where we're going is the importance of having a group outside of okay. Well, I feel like since like really in high school, I think high school prepared me really a lot for college. So in high school, I was involved in, I feel like...
Everything. Like, I can tell y'all for it. She was in choir. She was in debate. She was in weightlifting or powerlifting.
Powerlifting.
She was also in track and field. She did basketball for some time and she quit. She was also in musical theater or just theater in general.
Yo.
She also had a job at this time. She had two jobs at one point. What else did you do? Is there anything that I missed? UIL? Did you do UIL?
Yeah.
See, that's the eighth thing on the list, bro. I can't even
I forget.
What else did you do? Did you?
That's okay.
I think, like, I'm telling y'all, bro, like, she did everything. But there was a reason why you did everything.
Yeah, so...
To get out the house.
Yeah, to get out the house, essentially.
Yeah.
So in high school, I did, like, pretty much everything. I actually made that decision in sixth grade. I was like, I'm going to join everything. I want to be in the yearbook. And it just kind of just, like, evolved into... just something bigger, but in
weren't
high school,
you on the yearbook team?
For some time, and then
gotta get my spot.
She was like, for our graduation, we had like somebody who was like the head of like the not the head of the graduating class, but like the face of the graduating class. They called it, what was it, Miss Jag?
The Jag Award, I don't know.
I think it was called Miss Jag or something, or just some, yeah, the Jag Award.
Like Mr. or Mr.
Yes, and it was Esther. Like, she was genuinely, like, everybody knew her, and everybody was happy with the choice. But yeah, anyways, you can continue. I graduated.
We're just got like an introduction. You're about to walk on stage.
Like, genuinely, like, Esther was that person, not to, like, hype you up, but like genuinely everybody.
That's a glaze.
Everybody,
not
I graduated top of my class, Glaze Academy, bro.
Anyways, that's it. You got it.
I appreciate it. So, yeah. In high school, a lot. I think it wasn't until like my junior year, or no, my my freshman year. Like I would talk to my friends. I didn't really have friends like in my sport because first of all, it was COVID, and I went to a school where like really none of my like nobody knew, or like people from my middle school didn't really go to my high school, and so.
Because it was zoned different, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Zoned different.
Even though like they're like a walk away, just the way that our school district did things.
Yeah. So it was just like I was in a whole new environment, and I back then I was more introverted, and so I really I didn't really have friends like in my sport, so all my friends would really come from outside of my sport. And I think like there were so many times all throughout my high school years that like I'd be talking to someone, and then like I'd be like, oh no, I can't do this, I have something. They'd be like, you play a sport? And I'm like, yeah. And
so, like five.
Yeah. And so it was like I didn't really put a lot of pressure on myself, like, for my sport and for, like, my extracurricular activities, mm-hmm. like, outside of my sport, just on everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't, all my friendships were, like, secular. I think the only friend I had who was Christian was Ola. And then Ola went through, like, a period of isolation, too. But, yeah, it was like I didn't really have Christian community, if that makes sense, not until my senior year, and even then my primary friendship group was secular, and I love those people, I love them to death, but I don't feel like I was growing spiritually like at all. And it wasn't until my school that I started to gain more friends, like started coming to Bible study and stuff like that, and I was like, man, like, Christians are pretty cool type deal. Yeah. So I'd never really been surrounded by that type of community before. And so going into university, I had seen how, like, so my brother, whenever he went to school, he plays D1 football. I kind of saw, like, that shift that happened in him from being, like, I'm set in who I am. I'm set in what I believe, to kind of fading off and drifting into the world. And it was just kind of like, it was just kind of hard to see, because I remember like one time he came home and then I saw something like just different about him. And I was like, I thought, like you said, like that wasn't like, I thought that wasn't that even hurts. An option. And it was just like, And so going into that, going into going to be an athlete, it's like athletes kind of have like that stigma about them.
Party.
Smoke. Yeah, all that type of stuff.
I won't say the rest, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, all the good stuff, all the fun stuff for the world, right? And so I think people can tell that there's something different about me just in the way I like carry myself, like on the team and everything. And my primary friend group, I kind of took like not really having friends, like, or like my main friend group in my sport from high school, I kind of took that with me to college. But this time I'm spending most of my time around other Christians, and I think that's really shaped, and I personally have seen like just a difference like on the team and my witness on the team and stuff like that type deal. But sorry for the app.
Two short things.
Okay, go ahead.
First off, Esther's also good at all that she did. She made regionals and like everything. So if you think she's mid, like realize, like she made it to state for her sports and made it to regionals in her like creative arts type stuff. So like, and she was going to do a credit.
That's whole.
Yeah, so she was kind of like, the fact that now senior year, like she focused and honed in on something and she made D1 off that. Like, if she spent all of her 4 years just focusing on a sport. Anyways, I just, okay, the glaze is done. I just had to point that out. Yeah. And second of all, that fade, whenever people enter college, whoever is watching this, they're going to be able to tell. Because we can actually talk about that. Like, genuinely, the amount of people who you see, like, they fade in their faith. Mm-hmm. Like, they may have been passionate about it come high school, but when college comes, like, that's so much more widespread than people want to talk about. Like, you only hear it when if you're, like, getting discipled or you're close to somebody who's older than you.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, like, I noticed it, like, a lot. Even with my own parents, I'm like, yo, they faded around this point. Because they're opening up to me about the mistakes that they made. I'm just like, yo,
mm-hmm.
I don't want that to be me. But you can continue. I just have to point that out.
No, I felt like it's important to say, because maybe there's somebody watching this that doesn't, I guess, realize this concept, but growing spiritually is not just like, because like when you, I guess when we say that word, it can, if you don't know a lot about the Bible, you know, it can come off as like, oh, you're just like getting closer to God, and it's just a personal inward thing. But truly, like growing spiritually, there's like a direct correlation with growing maturely.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I mean, becoming more like Christ, if he, like he's, God is a moral standard. First John 1:5 says that God is light,
yeah.
And in him is no darkness. And light is personified as good and, you know, what is right, what is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're going to be more like God, we're actually becoming more mature. We're becoming more morally grounded and more like Christ. And now that's not like morally grounded as in like we're following our moral compass. We're following the example that Christ set, and also the examples and the commands that God set in his word. Because Christ said that if you love me, you would obey my commandments. And so what we find that the Bible commands is that we are to love, but also that we are to rejoice in the truth. Because love does not rejoice in wrong. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so like
13:5.
Yeah. I guess long story short, because I can open a whole can of worms, but when we grow with God, it's not going to be an inward thing. It's going to be displayed outwards. Like,
exactly.
People are going to see it. People are going to see how you're patient. People are going to see how you stand firm in your faith once, you know, people accuse you. You're going to see how, or people are going to see, even when you don't think they're seeing it, how you show up and how you operate when nobody is looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I have mighty examples on that. Okay. So to add on to like Esther's case. So Esther didn't have Christian community in high school, like not until like maybe around senior year sort
yeah.
of. Me personally, I felt the push to start taking God more seriously around basically COVID. So going into my freshman year. So in that, I put on my story. I was like, I'm done people pleasing. Like, I'm just going to follow God. I don't care what any of you guys say. I deleted social media. I deleted my Snapchat. I deleted Instagram. I think I only had YouTube. And it was weird. Because first off, I was a people pleaser. Like, my life, my God, whatever, my friends. So the fact that I'm putting that away, now it's like, okay, dang. Like, I might as well just please the only person who's, like, going to be with me forever, which was God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me closer to God. Because I had no distractions. I'm not trying to say, like, I was out here, like, isolated 1,000%. In my room all the time. Now, don't get me wrong, there'd be times where I would not leave my bed. I'd just be reading my Bible because I was like, dang, there's actually so many interesting stories.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go out and hoop with, like, Marvelous, and, like, my little brother and all that. But other than that, like, it was weird going into, like, freshman year, first off, with different friends. Second of all, we have masks on and everybody's, like, socially distanced. But it's just like, oh, wow, like, here I am taking Christ seriously. Like, I remember my friend Carson. You remember Carson? What's the word? We were on a call, or he put on, like, Playboi Carti, and, like, dude, like, I remember, like, running home from school, because I would run home from school.
Yeah.
I wasn't
gonna,
yeah, the ramen jacket,
yep.
too. But he asked me,
the
what's
ramen
the,
one?
Yes,
ramen,
right.
Dude, I remember that.
We don't talk about those days anymore.
Down.
But he
what's
put on
baby?
Some Playboi, he was like, yo, like, what song do you want to play? He said some Playboi Carti song, and I was like, nah, bro, I don't listen to that anymore. And that was so hard to say because it was the first time that I had to be public about, like, what was happening on the inside. Like, before, like, I mean, yeah, I could put on my story, okay, God is good, or this message about this verse, some Bible verses or notes, but to, like, actually say it and confront that, like, and that was the first time, and nobody, at this time, nobody, when I talk about when I got close, nobody was getting close to God at this point.
Yeah.
Nobody was. So I'm out here just like, dang, like, I'm really alone. Like, I have no community. And I would be on TikTok looking at the, like, Christian reels. This is, like, 2020.
Same.
I'm like, okay, but he was a great younger than me, so I was gonna ask who he was.
Okay.
What's the word? And I'm out here, like, dang, like, hopefully I'll be able to have community one day. Like,
right now, I'm just praying for, like, the current people that I know to take God seriously. Mm-hmm. And right now, they're not taking me seriously. Matter of fact, I found out junior year, the friends that I, like, whenever I started taking God seriously, I became really nice all of a sudden. Like, because I heard that one verse where it's like, what you do unto even one of these people, you do unto me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so if I, like, say this person has a big forehead, like, I'm saying Jesus has a big forehead. Like, as funny and silly as it sounds, like, I genuinely took that, like, to heart. And I started being, like, radically nice to people. People thought I was being fake, genuinely. But, like, no, I wasn't. Like, I was genuinely scared of God. Like, the fear of God was instilled in me. And that's kind of, like, what made that change for me. And because of that, I was just being intentional towards pleasing God. And then I didn't have community either. But, like, when it came to my sport, comparison, what you were talking about.
I was just about saying, if we...
Yeah, like, genuinely, like, I could talk about, like, there was one person, and usually, okay, I'm going to bring in this example. I don't really hate people. Like, I don't dislike people. Mm-hmm. Like, I never would consider myself jealous. Like, I'm cool and I'm chilling. Like, God gave me this. Like, I used to be real. I used to practice thankfulness a lot, and I didn't realize it. Like, I just did. And so I remember senior or junior year, right? I can say his name. That's not that big a deal. He's about to go to the army. That's not that big a deal.
Jaden.
Jaden.
Hey.
Jaden. Mr. Lightskin. But I remember sophomore year, like, I had already been in club track for a minute. I'm getting better, right? He's just doing whatever sport that he wants to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I used to be faster than him the majority of my life anyways, too, right? But, like, you know, we started going to practice and everything. And I'm noticing, like, he's really improving in the 400. And I saw this man literally, like, crippled. Like, his shins were split because I think it was his tibia or fibula. Something. Basically, it was a soccer game. Somebody ran into him. They misdiagnosed him. It ended up being worse than he thought. So yeah. I saw this man literally at the bottom. I saw this man get made fun of running the 800. He told all of them. He was like, I'm going to get all y'all back. Like, I'm going to be better than... And he did. He genuinely did. Like, he was at the bottom. He told everybody he was going to be better than all of them. And he did become better than everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, he became, like... He was about to be team captain of varsity for, like, the sprints or something senior year. Mm-hmm. But I remember, like, we had practiced. And I saw him getting better than me. And I, like, genuinely, like, jealousy started to, like, root. Like, genuinely. And I never admitted it until my senior year. Once I, like, you know what, bruh? I'm genuinely jealous of you. Because, like, I'm out here doing the same practice as you are, but you're not getting as tired, and I'm working as hard. Like, I'm heaving, I'm learning all these, I'm teaching you the techniques. Like, I'm literally teaching you how to run. Why are you improving faster than me? I've known this more than you have. Like, it doesn't make sense. I'm putting you onto the track club, I'm showing you which coaches are right, I'm showing you proper form. Why? I literally, you are weaker than me, like, even in weight room, like, not on some, like, pride stuff, but, like, I'm, like, in the weight room, I'm genuinely stronger than him. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you improving? Maybe it's because, like, you know, you're just more bouncy, so you have less will. I don't know. But I was genuinely jealous. And then, like, I started to realize now, I don't want to say this as an excuse. Oh, yeah. I have sickle cell trait, and I didn't think that was a big deal until I got a full body cramp. And then, like, I did research online, and it turned out that sickle cell trait actually affects athletes who are, like, training more professionally. And I was out here thinking that, okay, it's just some random thing, like, it doesn't bother me, until, like, I did get that full body cramp. I couldn't move for 2 hours. The man who would never say a cuss word in his life, unless it was, like, in a song back in, like, the 8th grade, was now cursing like a sailor for 2 hours straight in front of my coaches. And then I came to realize, oh, so this is what's been holding me back. Like, while my brother was good at the 400, he was breaking school records, or close to breaking school records, I was out here struggling, barely even able to approach his time. While my sister's going D1 for track, I'm, like, just out here struggling, even though I believe I'm working smarter, I'm working harder. Like, why am I the different one? And then I was like, okay, there's not much I can do about this. Yeah. Like, this is, I was born with this. Mm. But that comparison, like, I wonder how much it killed in me, genuinely. Like, comparison plus not having community. Because you have community right now, and so you're able to find, like, a sense of self outside of your sport, which is really good. But me personally, like, first off, I'm hard on myself. Soccer top, like, coach, he drilled that into me, like, just being hard on myself and just, like, having accountability. That's why I was like, I always looked really stressed sophomore year. People always looked like, I was like, yo, are you going through something? And I'd be like, nah, I'm okay. It was my first time doing a sport. I was taking 3 AP classes and nobody was telling me how to do it. so I feel like I'm alone, basically. And I'm Christian, so I don't really have friends. I have people I know, and I can laugh with them, but like whenever I talk about something serious, they're not going to be able to understand me. Mm. So here I am, I'm finding my value in my classwork and in my sports. I'm not finding my value in anywhere else. And I'm a guy, and so it's like, you know, girls, they're more on top of that, where it's like my value isn't in any of these things. Like, I have innate value. And that's what the Bible teaches. But like, I knew it, but I didn't know it in my heart. So I'm seeing my performance. I'm seeing, okay, the twos on the AP test, or okay, I'm not on varsity yet, or, and I'm trying to give myself grace, like, oh, it's my first year here, it's my first time doing a sport, and I have AP classes. But like, all I'm seeing is my performance, and I'm getting depressed, I'm getting anxious before races, before practice. That's why I quit senior year, because I was crying before practice, because I was just anxious about it. And then I go and practice, and then God would show out, but I'd still get anxious because I was trying to find my value in my sport, not in my community. And senior year was where I was also starting to get closer to this Bible study. But even then, like, there was just like a lot that I had to work on internally with the way that I saw myself, which I'm glad that you have a community now, because I feel like that makes you just that much better at your sport, because you don't have the pressure of trying to perform. And usually whenever, yes, pressure does make or break diamonds or whatever, but like, whenever, and most things, whenever you realize that it's not a chore, but it's like a privilege, that's when you usually do so much more better.
And yeah.
It's not an easy thing, right?
Yeah.
And I had to read a book about it. I had to read The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, because, like, even though I do have community, I still find, like, it's a human condition. It's a struggle every single day. I find myself struggling to wanting to perform to a high level. Like, even this past year, I caught myself in practice, but like, one time my food, and like, a word slipped out of my mouth, and my coach was like, whoa, Esther. And he was like, never, he started cheering, he was like, never heard that one. I'm like, no, like, I don't want to do that. But there's like an innate, like, pressure that I, standard that I hold myself to.
Yeah.
And like, 1 Corinthians 3, 20 something through like 4, you can search it up. I'll pull it up, actually. But Paul is just talking about how he doesn't hold himself, or he doesn't even, like, he's basically talking to the Corinthians, like, I don't care what you think about me. I don't even care what I think about me. I only care about, like, what God thinks about me.
I was going to say, there's, Solomon, you and I were talking about this the other day, about, like, we're on the phone, and... something to the lines of what you were saying is sort of like, so a lot of the, I wanted to remember what we were talking about perfection, and then we were talking about also the fact that, like, you can put your heart into something and you're doing the best of your ability to have excellence, mm-hmm. and how there's a difference between keeping, like, forcing yourself into a level of perfection due to comparison and insecurity, rather than, on the other hand, it's security. And you know what you're doing, you know who you are, you may mess up, you know that, like, you're not the expert in it, but you're learning, and that you're doing the best of your ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we were talking about?
Yeah.
We were talking about that, and when it goes to, like, what you were talking about, I was thinking over and over, whenever we were talking about, like, you're talking about the perfection, I always think, I'm like, that, when that happened to me, that, like, that shifting, that letting go of, like, the perfectionism. I don't know if this is, like, anything y'all have experienced. But, like, letting go of the need to be the best, like, was an idol for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that perfectionism, letting that go, and then channeling it into, like, becoming more secure, becoming, like, at least those things that would help me to, like, now I'm just going to do the best of what my ability is instead of comparing myself.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of... did you ever go through something like that? Is that similar to what you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's still struggling today.
Yeah. And I mean, like,
I don't think it's necessarily...
Yeah.
I'll say, like, the perfectionism thing, it's not a bad thing to, like, want to be good at what you do. Like, even, like, okay, you look at Colossians 3, work at all things as if you're working for the Lord.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to do a good job, I guess, normal. But I guess, like, since we're younger, we have, like, we're more ambitious in our, like, ideals and our goals, and I'm not, and also that standard is what helps us, like, want to get better. But if it's, I think if it's not treated well, it's basically easy to become an idol. Easy to be, like, the devil is looking to steal, kill, and destroy. Like, it's prowling around looking for somebody to destroy. And that's basically an easy way that the devil can, like, use that for his own advantage in his own kingdom rather than for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And also with the verse that Esther was talking about, 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. For as for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. Mm-hmm. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Mm-hmm. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. And so, yeah. I think it's pretty cool. Reading 1 Corinthians for the first time, I'm like, okay, like, this is weird. You know what I'm saying? But we were talking about something, and, like, at a certain point, I think I was talking about, like, you know, I'm not in a position to, like, judge these people or wherever they are in their walk. And Jesus warns us to not judge anybody. And then even in James 2, I'm pretty sure, forgot where. But I'm just like, okay, I think I can understand the wisdom behind not judging anybody. Because at the end of the day, like, Jesus told us, like, you can't tell somebody that, you can't say that somebody's going to heaven or hell. Like, we're not in a position to get that. We're not perfect judges. Yeah. Like, who are we, like, thinking that we can judge somebody perfectly? Like, God knows the heart. God sees what's behind the scenes. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, I'm just going to say, okay, this is God's word. This is what I'm going for. And it is what I'm going to be intentional about my own motives and, like, know what's motivating me. Okay, is it pride? Is it people pleasing? Is it my coaches? Do I want to just make money? Do I want to be popular? Like, I'm going to ask myself those questions. But overall, like, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to have God prune those desires and purify them to see, okay, what's right and what's wrong, what should stay and what should go. And depending on where God wants to take you, like, maybe some things will stay. Maybe that discernment that, like, okay, some people would say you're really hard on yourself, but maybe God's going to use that and you'll become, like, a leader who can, like, discern, like, maybe within a team, like, okay, this has to stay, this has to go. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that, like, grace that you give, maybe you're going to be a caretaker, and so you need to learn how to have that type of grace. Mm-hmm. But it just depends on, like, I don't know, wherever you are in your life.
Hello, and thank you for watching the Faith and Swim podcast. This episode went extra long. We're just having such a great discussion that we couldn't stop. So I'm going to break this video up into two parts. The second part of the video will be released sometime next week. And so just thank you for tuning in. And I hope that you guys have a blessed day. So peace.